Well, good morning. This is our first day of our July winter session. And as I mentioned in the first yesterday, is just how fortunate we are to be here. All the suffering and confusion that's going on around the world, and so the opportunity to sit together and practice is a wonderful thing. I just appreciate everyone for making the time to come together for this, because it supports everybody. It's the jewel of Sangha. So yeah, first day of Sesshin, it's always interesting because it's like a door opens, and we enter into this this form, this container, and for many of us, maybe except Phil, this is a well-worn path, and we've been down this journey before, and but for you, Phil, it'll be the first time, so everything's new, and so I appreciate you, you making the time to come along. It's a wonderful thing to encounter, and I just appreciate Scott Shindo, coming up from Christchurch to make the time, survived a stomach-wrenching approach into Wellington Airport. It's looking decidedly green, throwing away body and mind to come to Sesshin. So Scott's been sitting a long time from each other for many years through the Diamond Sangha. And first day of Sesshin, the basics again, because we only here we only do about once every 6 months. And so reminding ourselves again of the foundations of practice. When we teach Zazen the first time, we talk about body, breath and mind. And that body is this lump of red flesh that we encounter when we sit down, when we enter into this practice and start paying attention to whatever's arising. And what arises a lot when we're sitting is our body and how it feels, and sometimes how uncomfortable it feels, or the movements, and so many ways that we encounter life, or our life is through body, through sensation. And so we have the sitting posture, and that posture is like a mountain, the firm foundation, and then the rising up through the peak. And that extension all the way through the spine, placing space between the vertebrae, drawing up, relaxing the shoulders, opening up the heart and the belly, and allowing the space for the breath to come and go. And then there's walking again. It's like walking like a mountain, paying attention to the sensation of walking. There's bowing, and when we bow, so we pay attention to how we make the bow. And chanting, breathing, putting forward intention. And we eat the flavors and the textures and the chewing and the food going down into our bellies, and working and bodily activity, giving back, supporting this place and the sangha. So that body, the practice of body is it's really 24/7. When we lie down to sleep, that kind of delicious feeling of the end of the day. And then breath connects the so-called inside and so-called outside world. And that smooth thread of inhalation, exhalation, that normally will start with the nose, and then we're extending into the belly, And then we pay a bit of attention to the out-breath, gently extending that breath into a smooth straw, and a silent exhalation. Just again, linking inside and outside. And the mind, so the mind is the practice of everything. You know, it's that it's a wonderful book, Koshu Uchiyama Roshi, and the title is Opening the Hand of Thought. And that is really what this practice is about. Because normally we grasp, and so this practice is about letting go, opening the hand of thought, letting thought be free, rather than trying to grab it and direct it into certain ways. Allowing the mind to function freely without caging it. But I guess that doesn't mean that we follow it and we feed it and we tell it where to go down different pathways. And so again, that breath, when we talk about mind, the mind, if you're practicing with the breath, the mind sits on the breath, is the breath. It's that wave of the ocean, or attentive. You know, it's like a cat watching a mouse hole. It's just ears pricked, whiskers quivering. Pay attention. So it's a really rare opportunity. It strikes me, and I think as we get older, how rare opportunities are. Even just around body, you know, like I think since I hit 50 a few years ago, I've just like gone from ticking excellent health to like good now. You know, everything seems to be breaking down at various parts. Just the new things, oh God, not this one now. You know, whatever it is. It's nothing major, it's just it's like an old car when things aren't working. I can't sit cross-legged at the moment. I don't know if I'll ever be able to after, you know, knee surgery and injuries and so it's just that it's rare because it's impermanent. And again, you know, this place is for sale again. The couple here, they bought it with a dream, and they Moni and Jay, and then they split up, I guess, over COVID. I think they found it, you know, probably a lot of changes happened over COVID for people, and decided they wanted different things, and so now they're parting ways, and the place is on the market. 1.5 million. I think we talked about this 2 years ago. If anyone had a spare 1.5, then maybe we could buy it. So, you know, maybe next time we come, it'll be a retirement community or something else will be here. You know, and I think it's what happens is when we sit, what we encounter is the this flow, this impermanence. We observe it really closely. That's what we see when we pay attention to this eternal spring that continues rising up. You know, we see there is nothing fixed. And in the Heart Sutra, you know, we chant it every morning. You know, this emptiness. Emptiness just means there's nothing, nothing particular, nothing we can nail down. You know, we express it as no self. You know, there's nothing out there we can see that is fixed. There's nothing in here, you know, we can experience that is fixed. Nothing to rely on. You know, so what is this? And that really is kind of the I guess the urgent question. And it's like an encouragement too. So what is this? You know, this encouragement, I guess we encourage each other not to settle down into any particular kind of easy or comfortable or uncomfortable position. You know, again, we're opening the hand of thought. When we think we've got it, when I say got it, sometimes it's got it as in like, yeah, life is shit, or life is great, or he's like this, or I'm like this, or whatever it is. Then the encouragement is again to return and let go. You know, it's a practice of Dogen Jinji said, of forgetting the self. You know, to study the Buddha way is to study the self, and studying the self, myself, this thing, is to forget the self. So practice is about forgetting the self, forget about it. Donnie Brasco. You know, sometimes forget about it just means forget about it. You know, what are we forgetting? We're forgetting this kind of attachment, this fixed thing. So again and again, when we return to breath, to koan, to this unmitigated experience, unmediated experience, then we're letting go of a particular thought pattern or stream, and just again experiencing whatever is arising. And it's again and again and again, it's the whole, like, 4 days is a good length of time to settle down and just to practice that. Just to practice again and again and again. So I'd like to read something from Dogen Zenji on impermanence, because it's a lovely teaching. This is from Nishoba Genzo. These particular writings were captured in a book called Enlightenment Unfolds, which is kind of like the second collection of collections, edited by Kazuaki Tanahashi. So Dogen Zenji this is like just called Informal Talks, and it was written around about 1237 in Fukakusa, and recorded by Ejo, who's Dogen Zenji's first successor, and it says, just recorded by Ejo, attendant monk. It says, upon arousing this mind, you should reflect on the impermanence of the world. Impermanence is not something you merely visualize or something you create and think about. Impermanence is the truth that is right in front of you. You need not study other people's words or textual evidence on this matter. To be born in the morning and to die in the evening, and not to see someone today whom you saw yesterday, the impermanence of life is in your eyes and ears. You should not see or hear it only in terms of others, but apply it to your own self. Even if you hope to live for 70 or 80 years, in the end you are destined to die. You should regard your pleasure and sorrow, relationship and attachment, and worldly affairs as your enemy. To do so is the way to a fuller life. You should keep in mind the Buddha way alone and work for the bliss of nirvana, especially those of you who are elderly or middle-aged. How many years do you have left? How can you be lax in your practice of the way? Yet this is not urgent enough. You should examine both the mundane world and the Buddha realm. Tomorrow or even in the next moment, you might become gravely ill, lose your senses and suffer from great pain. You might suddenly be killed by a demon, a robber or an enemy. Truly nothing is for certain. Therefore, in this transient world where the time of death is unpredictable, scheming to live forever or wasting your time plotting against others is quite stupid. The Buddha spoke this truth to sentient beings. Ancestors expounded solely on this matter. I also speak of impermanence, the swift passage of time, and the urgency of birth and death. Do not ever forget this truth. Realize that you have just today, just this moment. You should concentrate your mind on the study of the way without wasting your time. If you do this, your practice becomes easy. To discuss the superiority or inferiority of your nature, the brilliance and slowness of learning, it's just not necessary. Quite wonderful, you know, that it's almost like that freedom to that lack of responsibility. There's responsibility, but there's also we are not responsible for all the shit that's happened in the past. We can let it go. You know, we only have to worry, or not even worry, about, you know, appreciating what is directly in front of us. It's like a free pass. And we're let out into that field. Nothing to do. When I think about impermanence, I'm going to think about my teacher, Tenshin Roshi. I think he's in Iceland at the moment. He said he wanted to see some fire and ice. He's a very technical guy, so he sent me this WhatsApp photo of the place where the continents were shifting apart. It's like just a big gap in the ground in Iceland. Yeah. So, ever since I've known him, which would be, I don't know, 30 years. And he keeps on saying about twice a year he would say, I think we've finished all the construction at Zen Mountain Center. I've got everything we need. And that's for the last 30 years I've heard that. I mean, 2 weeks ago he sent me a photo of some new great train of stairs that they'd built to replace another set of stairs that goes up from one of the picnic areas up to the Buddha Hall. My mind, I've looked at those stairs and thought they'll be there 100 years. But attention, Roshi, it's never finished. So I appreciate that kind of practice where I want to settle down. Yeah, he just sees something else that needs improving. That's going to benefit others. Just look at the curve of those steps, Shinko. I think it's going to be easier for people to walk up there with heavy containers full of food. That's the way his mind works. It's quite wonderful. And then just on that note, it's more around that aspect of taking care of things, especially in Sesshin. You know, it's like every moment we have an opportunity. You know, there is Zazen, and that's wonderful, and it's the core of our practice. You know, but we have the 24 hours of the day. So Dogen Zenji was, you know, very adamant around that this practice was 24/7, that things are constantly changing. We get up, we sit, we work, and his gratitude for Sangha was huge. So here's some encouraging words again from Dogen Zenji. He says, Monk Aeon was appointed work leader on the last day of last year, the second year of the Ino area, in 1240. Then on the 25th day of the fifth month of this year, it's very, very sticking it to the right time, we were in the middle of the rainy season and the thatched roof hut was leaking. When I went to Zazen, billowing waves of rain spread from the eaves across the floor of the monk's hall and the adjacent hallway. The monk's assembly of pure ocean moved to the centre of the monk's hall and was stranded there. And just imagine, it's like pissing with rain all around there, and the only dry part is in the middle of the hall, and all the monks have piled their zavatans there. I asked Ian to fix this. He took off his Dharma robe, and together with the carpenters, he went up hatless onto the roof to oversee the work. Although the rain was falling hard, it didn't bother him. I felt like writing a poem for him. In my lineage, there is a precedent for this kind of appreciation. But since then, 6 months, nearly 200 days have passed, and I have not yet composed my poem, but I have not forgotten about it either. It was common for ancient Buddhas not to pick up the brush to write poems in the hot season, but to do so in the cold season, and we need to respect this custom. We're heading towards the one-year mark since Aeon took his position. The monastery fences have been constructed. This is a fortunate sign that our efforts ripen. I see him share his knowledge with the community, just like a boat coming down the river and being unloaded. I also personally see him present his subtle understanding. His effort brings joy to all of us. This monastery is far from the main road and people do not visit casually. Those who have high aspirations and a monk's travelling bag find their way here. They leave the world and join this patch of grass. With full commitment, sharp ears, and joyous heart, they strive for the ancestral field, sometimes taking the form of a fighting demon. Sometimes they use 1,000 hands and eyes. That's Avalokiteshvara, compassion. Who would say that receiving Dharma and continuing the ancestor's path is not an artisan's craft? Beyond the traditional words about participating in the assembly and working together, here is a verse for Ian. Hit the mark in 100 activities. Craft, 10 out of 10. You know, so it's that wonderful appreciation of you know, our everyday practice as it arises. It's funny, I read this and I felt embarrassed because I do remember a similar kind of activity where I did not go up hatless onto the roof in the pouring rain. I think it was pouring rain and I think Tenshin had a leak in his roof. And I heard the ladder go up. So wet outside. My cabin was just beside his. I knew I'd go over there and I'd just stand there looking stupid because he's a carpenter and he knew exactly what I had to do, but it was also that feeling that, well, I probably just should have been there to show support, but I didn't. And it's one of my eternal regrets where I said no. It's pissing with rain, I'll just go over there, get wet. He'll say, what are you doing, Shinko? Go back, or whatever. And it's just, but it's like that. Kind of things where sometimes, you know, when you need to do things and you know you do and you don't, then I still kind of carry that. I've never told him about it. Maybe I should, then I'd be able to let it go. But there you go. And I asked Ian to fix this. He took off his Dharma robe and together with the carpenters, he went up hatless onto the roof to oversee the work. Hit the mark in 100 activities. Craft, 10 out of 10. You know, and we never know. You know, that teaching of impermanence, you know, it just arises, and there are activities that, you know, each of us has the opportunity to take care of. You know, whether it's sitting zazen and the field of thoughts arises. You know, and our opportunity right then is to is to be aware of that activity, to open the hand of thought, let the thoughts be on their merry way, and then to return to this direct experience, this kind of precept, you know, this activity that is arising through sensation, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. It's that constant flow. It's really embodying, opening that container. Yeah, so we've got 3 full days left. And it's propitious. The sun is coming out. I'll probably be sitting down by the river this afternoon. You know, and it's rare, and just to take advantage of this time. It's a wonderful practice. It keeps on giving.